You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right. All over the World Wide Web, 1510wwbc.com. You can hit that Listen Live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. And then, of course, on that same page, the on-demand button will bring you to the shows by date. And, of course, look on every Monday afternoon here at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You'll find Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And, of course, after that, we download that show and edit it up so that that way all of our great guests can have a copy of their segment. And that's located on our website, which is SitaMediaInc.com. And then, of course, all of our social media channels, which are Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and Sita's personal page.
That's right. So for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, I am Sita Begee, and my friend Ellen O'Neill is here. She's been with me for 15 years. Very difficult not to say the other name at times. It's okay. I've been saying it for 13 years. And Allie Tambor is here. Hello. Sit here on Mondays, and we speak to our listeners, whether it's here in Florida, around the world, around all the United States, all 50 states. We speak about kitchen table topics, things that are important to our listeners, their children, their grandchildren. We speak about voting. We speak about the environment. We speak about financial literacy, education, housing market. We speak about how to vote, when to vote, when, if you're going to vote, how to be prepared for it. And most importantly, we all recognize that as we get older, bolder, and wiser, we want to leave a good footprint behind for our grandchildren and the next generation. And the only way to do that is to use our God-given talent, which is our voice, and raise our voices and do good things. Good things will follow. Find our purpose on earth. And Ellen, today is no different for our show. We've got a great lineup. Our first guest who is in studio with us is our very esteemed Supervisor of Elections, Mr. Tim Bobanek. Welcome to our show.
Thank you very much, Sita and Friends, for having me on. I'm very much looking forward to talking about elections up in Brevard County here today.
Right, and that's Tim's voice, and he does look like a quarterback. He does. And our second segment will be, we've got a children's author who's calling in on the second segment, and she's written some really wonderful books. Her name is Susan Hines. I booked her, months ago, and so she'll be calling in the second segment to speak about publishing the books she's written, very age-appropriate books for children, and she has a love for the nursery, for kids who just beginning to do the ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, which is great. So education. So today our show is about really education and communication as usual, right?
As usual, yes.
So Tim, thanks to your lovely wife, you know, Ellen, I attend a lot of events in town, and I'm so blessed that I have a lot of friends that invite me to a lot of stuff. And so I went to the Ogalia Club for a fundraiser for Genesis House with our good friends. And I met Tim's wife, and I said, you know, I've been trying to get that guy on my show for a very long time. And she's like, well, say no more. I will give him the information. And here he is on July 1st, 2024. Mr. Bobanek is with us to talk about the importance of voting, why we should vote, where we should vote. And for those people that live in the United States and don't recognize what a gift it is to be born in this great country, they're going to find out all about that today.
Absolutely. So what,
Tim,
a great week.
That's right. So tell us a little bit about yourself. We know that you took over from Laurie Scott, who's a friend of mine and the show, and did a stellar job as Supervisor of Elections here in Brevard. And you were appointed by Governor DeSantis, and you filled that term, and consequently, now we know you're going to be running for office again. But tell us a little bit about yourself.
Certainly. So I got my start in elections back in April of 2009, back when I was living in Tampa. I was hired on at the Hillsborough County Supervisor of Elections Office. I originally was doing some consulting work for them. I had my own CPA and IT consulting firm, and we had in Hillsborough County that year, there was some difficulties with their elections process, and so they brought me in to kind of help analyze, you know, what went wrong in that 2008 election. It was a new supervisor that was elected at that time. Her name was Phyllis Buzanski, and so she brought me in. We were friends for a long time, and then it turned into kind of a surprise job offer. They wanted me to be the director of their IT department over at Hillsborough County, and so I was there for 4 years. And we ran some great elections over there. Over the years, I had gotten to know many other staff members from other offices, and one of those was Tyler Saroy, who, you know, many don't realize that before he was in the legislature and before he was with the state attorney's office, he was actually Lori Scott's chief deputy. And so him and I got to know each other, and he was telling me about an opportunity that came up over at Brevard County. And so in 2013, my family, we picked up and we moved over here, so that I could be the director of IT and election services here in Brevard County. And so I was Lori's IT director for 10 years, and we ran quite a number of elections. I've overseen 31 elections in my 15-plus year career in elections. Wow. And that is a career. For me, this is a career. This isn't a stepping stone to some other higher office.
So we can safely say you have found your purpose in life.
Absolutely.
Is to get people to vote.
I do. I absolutely love what I do. I love making sure that we have fair, accurate, and transparent elections. And I think having that IT background is such a critical characteristic to have for somebody in this role. As we know, Supervisor Scott retired in 2022, and I was blessed to have Governor DeSantis appoint me to fill the remainder of that term. And so the 2022 general was my first one as the Supervisor of Elections for Brevard County. And it went smoothly. It was completely
I think we're the envy of a lot of states.
We are.
Brevard County, Florida. I voted pretty much in every election. And I have to say, I've never had an issue. Never. And I think our elections go smoothly. But, I mean, there are questions. People always have questions, right? They hear things from elsewhere. And some of the questions we got a few people that... A lot of people are thanking your office for the website,
mm-hmm.
that they can navigate it very, very well. And folks are saying now that they're grateful that the state of Florida has mail-in ballots. So talk to us about the update about the mail-in ballots and why people should pay attention if they don't get their ballot in the mail.
So for many years in Florida, voters simply had to request a mail ballot, and that request would be good for 2 general election cycles. After every election, you would just renew that request, and then you would be good to go. In 2022, the legislature made a significant change to our election laws, and they wiped out all of the mail ballot requests at the end of 2022. So in that November election, which was my first as your supervisor, we mailed out over 150,000 mail ballots to voters who had requested them.
Wow.
And on January 1st, 23, that number went to zero. Now, we have done a concerted effort to educate voters about this mail ballot process. And a lot of people still aren't aware that they will have to renew their request. If they want to get a ballot this year in 2024, they have to either go to my website, votebrevard.gov, and click on the request a mail ballot, or they can call 321-290-VOTE, which is 290-8683, and they can request that ballot over the phone. And by getting on that list, it'll be good for all of the elections for the remainder of the year. So if you request a mail ballot for the August primary election, it'll be good for August and the November election.
And it's good for 2 years?
No, that's the other change that the legislature made, is they've made it to where it's only good for 1 election cycle now. So it'll all expire now again at the end of 2024.
So people need to pay attention, because voting is a responsibility. And if you're serious about voting, then you should be serious every year. If you want to vote by mail, take your responsibility 100%. Like it is. It's important.
Well, the old saying goes, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain.
Take it seriously, right?
So, you know, take an interest in those races. And what I always encourage voters to do is make sure that you educate yourself from the top to the bottom of the ballot. You know, you have the president, you have all of these U.S. Senate races, but you also have these down ballot races, which are so critical. These people touch your lives more on a daily basis than anybody in the White House or Tallahassee. These county commission candidates.
Yeah, yeah. I wish you could repeat that because, I, you know what, I've had so many people after the last debate saying things, and I try to say, listen, all things are local. It starts with your local election. So talk to us a little bit about why, in your opinion, the local elections are so, so important.
Well, these elected officials, whether they're school board that are affecting your children's everyday lives in the school districts, the county commissioners who are passing ordinances and approving zoning, all of that kind of stuff happens at that local level. And then if you get down to the city level, you know, they really have that control over what happens in these municipalities and cities. So those down ballot races, which a lot of times people will fill out a ballot, they'll vote for president, Senate, Congress, and kind of just leave the rest of those blank, don't realize that, these down ballot races are really going to affect you on an everyday basis. And we've got a lot of cities with a lot of races. City of Palm Bay has a number of candidates among the mayor and the three city council races. And, that could change the dynamic of that city alone in that election. And then you have Titusville, which will also be on the primary, some of the races in the primary, some on the general.
It's exciting, isn't it? I love voting, as you could tell. I love politics. And I know that people, they're far left or far right. I'm right smack in the middle. And I like to think about what I'm voting for. I know Ellen here always talks about the roads in Palm Bay and her lights.
Yeah, well, I've lived in Palm Bay forever, for almost 35 years. So my connection with Palm Bay has always been to improve what's going on down there.
Improve people's lives.
You only do it through voting. That's how it happens. And going to city council meetings and learning about who not just who is in office, but also what they stand for, so that way you can actually see them in action. And our system provides so much for us. The unfortunate thing is so many people are working, and it's hard to schedule that time to make that time. So hopefully you get better information than what's on Facebook. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know,
I always like to say, especially when it comes to elections, the things that you see
League
on social
women
media
voters is where voters, if you're going to be on social media, League of Women Voters is where you need to be if that's what you want to look at.
One of the things that we always like to push is that the elections office, we are the trusted source for accurate and correct information. There's a lot of things that you see on social media. A lot of people like to go online, and somebody once told me, authenticate before you pontificate.
Ooh. Right.
Write it down.
A T-shirt.
But politics, when someone chooses to go into politics, there's always an aha moment why you want to become a politician. And it should always be to improve the lives of people. People in your community, people in your state, people in your nation. It should be you want people to have food, water, shelter, an education, a job, pay their taxes, drive on good roads, have a great post office. By the way, we have all of that in Brevard, I think.
Sometimes. We do.
We live in like the greatest county, right? So talk to us about the three main methods of voting. Because, people have questions about early voting, the day of voting, vote by mail. So let's hear it from the supervisor of election, Mr. Tim Bobanek. What an easy name to say. I just love it. Bobanek.
Sounds good to me. So we have three methods of voting that are authorized in Florida statute. We have vote by mail, which is going on right now. People are putting those mail ballot requests in. And we are actually going to be sending out the mail ballots for our overseas military and civilians this Friday, July 5th. And then the rest of the mail ballots for what we call our domestic civilian mass mail, that's going to go out July 18th. And so if you have that mail ballot request, keep an eye out. If you're not sure, if you go to votebrevard.gov and click on My Registration Status at the top, not only will it confirm that you are registered to vote, that we have your correct address, it'll show you your precinct and your polling location, but it will also tell you whether you have a scheduled a mail ballot. And if you do, it'll tell you when we got the request, when it's going to be sent out, and then it'll also tell you when you returned your ballot. So it's very easy to track the status of your mail ballot.
And returning that ballot can be returned by mail, or do you have to find some special mailbox to put it in?
No, it can be returned by mail. We actually cover the postage on the mail ballot so that voters don't have to worry about putting a stamp on there. And you can either drop it into any U.S. Postal Service mailbox, or you can deliver it to one of our four administrative offices. We have secure ballot intake stations that are manned by staff so that you can deposit those. We also have those secure ballot intake stations at all of our early voting sites during the early voting hours.
Good to know.
Now, that kind of segues into the next method, which is early voting. We have 10 early voting locations throughout Brevard County. And again, visit votebrevard.gov and click on the early voting tab, and you will see the locations of where we have all those early voting sites.
And how many days for early vote? I know we've changed the days, right? It used to be, what is it, 10 days now?
So for the primary election, we will be running early voting from August. Let me see. I got my numbers here. We will be running August 10th through the 17th, which is a Saturday through Saturday, which is 8 days. But for the general election, because we have such a larger turnout, we do 13 days of early voting. So we do an additional Monday through Friday going into that time period.
Yeah.
Same locations, but one of the nice things about on our website is while early voting is going on, you can click that early voting button, and it will tell you what the wait time is at these sites. We color code them.
Talk about great IT over here.
Yeah. It is.
And the IT man, Tim Bovanic, that we
came up with years ago, and it's very simple. If it shows green, that means it's a 15-minute or less wait time. If it's orange, then it goes from 15 minutes to 45 minutes, and then red is a greater than 45 minutes. I don't anticipate for the primary election having any wait times, any significant wait times, but for the general election, you know, we do have some sites are much busier than others, you know, Kiwanis
so
Island.
So again, it comes down to planning your vote.
Yep. Well, the great thing about early voting is a voter can vote at any early voting site. So let's say you drive by and you see a very long line at the Kiwanis early voting site, which is usually our busiest. Well, just down the road across the river is the Dr. Jolie Smith Community Center, which is right around the corner here from the studio. There's typically no wait time at that location. We have the ability to print your ballot on demand so that when you show up to that site and you check in with your photo and signature ID, we will issue you your precinct-specific ballot right at that early voting.
How much easier can it get?
There's really...
So there's no excuses for the people of Brevard County, Florida, who are listening to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today. There's no excuses not to plan how you're going to vote.
Exactly. Now, then we get into our third method, which is Election Day. And that's the most traditional here. And on Election Day, you must vote in your assigned polling place and precinct. That is Florida law. So you can't just show up anywhere. And again, you can check the status of where your precinct polling location is. It would be on your voter information card that we mailed you. And last year, we did make some changes to some of the voting locations based on school board redistricting. The school boards aligned their districts with the county commission districts. So if you live in County Commission District 1, then you are also in School Board District 1. And so we had to make some small changes that affected a certain number of voters last year. And some of those voters, where you voted in 2022, that may have changed since then.
Right.
So we always encourage voters to check that status. We call it be election ready. You know, have a plan for Election Day or early voting or mail ballot and get out there, go to the website, check your status, and know where you have to go.
And now, just know one more thing, because I'm doing this as we're speaking about it online. I have my computer up in front of me. And not only did it allow me to check my status, but then it gave me a picture of my voting spot with the address. And all you have to do is click the button. It takes me to the directions to get there.
You're joking, right? So you could download it on your phone, how to get there.
Right there.
Actually, not only that, you click it and it'll open up your mapping application,
yeah,
whether it's Google Maps or Apple Maps, and you can get turn-by-turn directions to your polling place.
How did you figure all this
out? He's an IT
guy. I'm an IT guy.
That's
my background. I gotta make it.
So, you know, but I'll tell you,
it
is magic. With all the hype we hear about voting in the United States, there's absolutely no reason for someone to question the supervisor of election, Tim Bovanic, in Brevard County, Florida. You've done an excellent job.
Well,
office is doing an excellent job.
And I'm going to give you a great example of why you can trust the process here in Brevard County. You know, after 2020, you know, we fought for about a year or two about the integrity of the voting system, about elections. And we found ourselves trying to disprove a negative. We had no evidence that there was any wrongdoing in Brevard County. We were absolutely confident in the results. However, I couldn't disprove that negative. So in 2021, we implemented a system called Clear Ballot, which is an automated independent audit system. And we perform a 100% audit on every ballot, every race, and every precinct. And we do that by scanning the ballots a second time. So when you as a voter go into an early voting site and you feed your ballot into that voting equipment that I am required to use by statute, we take those ballots and we bring them back to our office, and then we scan them through a completely independent system that is using commercial off-the-shelf scanners that you can buy at Staples and Office Depot, and we run every ballot a second time, and then we compare the results between the two systems. And I will tell you, in the 2022 election, we had about 549,000 ballot pages that were submitted by voters because we had a two-page ballot. It was our longest ballot Brevard ever saw.
Right.
Anybody want to take a guess on how many ovals that is? Every vote across a little over 500,000 ballot pages.
Wow.
The answer is 7.9 million ovals. So we had 7.9 million votes across that 500,000 ballot pages. And when we compared the results of our audit system to our certified tab system, we were 99.992% accurate between the
Woo-hoo!
Two systems.
Wow.
We call that the gold standard for
That's
election
right.
integrity in the state of right. Florida and in the country.
So, folks, in addition to verifying the signatures and receiving and securing your ballots, the supervisor of elections in Brevard County, Florida, is now giving you map directions how to get to your precinct. Yeah. It couldn't get easier than that, right?
No excuses.
So how do we continue having you serve the people of Brevard County, Florida? We'd like to have you there at the supervisor of elections office for a very long time. What's in the future for you?
Well, nobody would love that more than me, Sita. So
yes.
I will say that, yes, I am running for election this year. My name will be on the August primary election ballot.
As supervisor of elections?
Yes, ma'am. As
supervisor
of elections.
You run for that role. Okay.
I am. And I like to joke that I'm the only candidate who has to run four elections and run the elections,
yeah.
Which puts me in a unique spot. Luckily, the Florida legislature kind of contemplated this situation. So as a candidate on the ballot, I have to step down from my roles on the canvassing board. I don't handle ballots. I'm not involved in the signature verification process. I'm just an advisor to the canvassing board, but I have an alternate who's taken my place on the board. Just so that, you know, you have that separation between candidate and supervisor of elections.
So someone sent me a text this morning, Mr. Bovanic, about the people who are disabled, that what can we do to help them to make it easier for them to vote electronically or other ways?
Okay, so they have two options. One is at all of our early voting sites and our election day sites, we have ADA accessible voting equipment. It's a piece of equipment called the Express Vote. And it takes up simply a blank card. When we feed that in, we program, here's your precinct number. And this is an audio ballot system. So if you have voters with visual impairments, it can have the machine will read the ballot to them. And they have directional arrow with Braille on the touchpads where they can navigate completely and independently on their own and cast that ballot. And then it'll print that ballot out. And then we will escort the voter over to the precinct tabulator where that ballot will go through just like every other hand-marked ballot. If you have some voters who just need a little bit of visual help, it acts as a touchscreen system, so we can blow the text up really big. We can change the contrast on it. It's a wonderful piece of equipment. Now, for voters who want to vote by mail, we do have an accessible vote-by-mail ballot voting system. When you go to our website, which is all ADA compliant, and you request that mail ballot, there's an option to say that I would like an accessible ballot. And then you will be emailed all of the instructions. You know, we use a vendor that is fully compliant with ADA, and it will allow them to use screen readers or whatever tools that they have to mark the ballot, print that ballot, and then they can mail that ballot back in to us, and then we can transcribe those votes onto an official ballot for them.
Right.
So all three methods of voting have accessible methods as well.
Right. Thank you so much for clearing that up, too, because there's so many questions. When people watch cable news, and I know it scares people half to death about voting, you hear a lot of stuff about the poll workers and who can walk around. And I know here in Brevard, all these things are verified.
Yes, they are.
So talk to our listeners a little bit. There are people who like to talk what I call nonsense. And it's hearsay, and they hear this from someone and the other one, and you've got to make sure the poll workers do this and do that. Talk to us a little bit about the people who are supposed to be helping at the ballot boxes.
So we have two different positions. Poll workers are people who are employed by me, and they're the people who will greet you. They will check you into the process. They will make sure that your ballot is cast. And then you have poll watchers. Poll watchers are designated either by the parties or by the candidates, and they are observers. And I think the absolute best way to help quell any conspiracies or any questions about the election integrity process is to be as transparent as possible. And I would say Brevard probably has some of the highest number of poll watchers. These are people that the parties appoint. They come in and they observe the process. They cannot interact with voters. All they can do is talk to the precinct clerk, who is the person who's in charge at that site. And they simply come in and they observe the process. They watch. They usually have checklists. And I welcome them in because most of the time when they come out of that room, they're like, wow, Brevard does things
they
really
feel
great.
Important. They feel
important.
Yes.
But they also, it helps vindicate us and it helps, you know, show that we run a really tight ship, that we follow all of the election laws. And, you know, we have a great relationship with the poll watchers. I welcome them in and I actually help participate in some of their training that they do.
Right. And, you know, at the last election, there was a lot of hype in the media about giving water to the people in the line, not giving water, food to people. And I'm like, people were talking trash about the elections. And here in Brevard, we didn't see any of that. We didn't have any issues with people, right, Allie? People in long lines.
It seemed to me that was in Georgia, that they had a trouble with people that were just handing, you know, because the elections are sometimes in the heat of the day.
Right.
And just passing
out
of water.
So you could bring your own water, right, if you wanted to.
You can bring your own water.
Right. So there's no law against bringing your own water.
Right. Here's the challenge is, in Florida, we have 150-foot no solicitation zone. So within 150 feet, you cannot approach a voter whatsoever. So outside the 150 feet, that's totally up to you. And a lot of times parties will set up tents outside that 150 foot.
Yeah.
But inside, that is a protected zone so that voters can come in and cast their ballots without the fear of being questioned or harassed.
Yeah.
And
honestly,
accosted by people.
And
yeah.
sometimes when we get really busy, these campaigners, they get a little aggressive. And so that's why we have that 150. We mark those zones at our polling places, and we have outside deputies, not uniformed sheriffs, but our employees are monitoring that zone to make sure nobody's breaking that.
So you want to, we'd like for you to stay in office for a few more years. So tell us some of the, I'm sure there's things you say, well, look, I could do more. What can you do more? Because you're already doing so much. I would like to know your vision for the future going forward. For the Brevard Supervisor of Elections.
I want to continue our tradition of running these longstanding elections that my predecessor, Lori Scott, I learned everything I learned from her, I'll be honest with you. And so using technology and sharing what we do in Brevard with other counties and other states, I'm a big advocate for sharing of information and getting that word out there. So we're going to continue running. I'm very involved in the legislative process. And so that to me is, you know, keeping an eye on that, making sure that, voters' rights aren't being infringed, but that we're also, you know, ensuring election integrity at the same
right.
time.
And a lot of folks are concerned about the signatures, verifying of signatures, because, you know, sometimes as you get older, you might scribble something a little bit different. And there was always a lot of talk about that. What is your office doing to make sure that people's signatures match their address and things like that?
So I highly encourage anybody to, if you haven't updated your signature in the last 5 years, fill out a voter registration application and get that into us, especially if you're a mail ballot voter, because we compare the signature on file with the signature that's on your certificate envelope. And I will tell you that in my first election, my staff rejected my own signature on my mail ballot because I changed it so much because I had to sign so many things.
Yeah.
So we do look at every single signature that comes in on those mail ballots.
Right. And if someone wanted to find out more about you and your campaign for re-election for the Supervisor of Elections, let us know your website, how they can donate, volunteer. I mean, I feel blessed that you were able to come on our show and share all this information with our listeners, because people need to know that we've got to express this fundamental right of voting.
Absolutely. Right? And so to get more information about my campaign, you can visit timforsupervisor.com. That's timforsupervisor.com. Or you can find me on Facebook as well as Tim Bobanek for Brevard County Supervisor of Elections.
And what do you say to the people who make excuses about voting and they try to lay blame on everybody else but their own family and friend circle?
I will tell you that in my 15 years in elections, 31 elections, I have seen two exact ties in a race. So when everybody says, oh, my one vote doesn't matter, my one vote won't count, I can point to two specific elections, two specific races, where if one more person had voted, and they were down ballot races, if one more person had voted, it would have made a difference on whether a referendum passed or failed or whether that candidate would have been elected or not.
So
every
votes
vote
do
matters.
Count.
Every vote matters.
And oftentimes we'll have people that call in on the show and talk about the difficulties of voting. Here in Brevard County, Florida, you have made it quite accessible for anyone who wanted to cast that wonderful vote.
Absolutely.
And exercise their civic duty of voting. Have you had anyone that calls the office and say, hey, I had an issue with this and that and the other? Whether it's transportation, whether it's getting to the polling station, whether it's early voting. Do you ever have anybody that calls and says, we need help in this category?
Very rarely. I mean, we try to position our polling places to where they're generally accessible, you know, whether it's bus stops or mass transit stops and so forth. And our early voting sites are spread evenly throughout the county so that we try to target the best locations for those. Obviously, I can't put an early voting or an election day site where every single person wants one. I'm limited by budget, but I'm also limited by availability of space. You know, getting into these polling places is increasingly difficult. You know, every year we lose one or two polling places just because they don't want to deal with all of the foot traffic and everything. You know, none of the Catholic churches will allow polling places pretty much anywhere in Florida these days. The diocese has pulled out of all of that. So we always have a challenge of finding polling places, and we're always looking for, options. But I'm always open, to suggestions. When after every election, we do a deep dive into, here's where we had some problem areas, here's where we had some great successes, so that we can analyze all of that.
Right. Well, if you don't mind, give us the website one more time for your campaign. And folks, it doesn't matter if you're registered as a Democrat, a Republican, an independent. It doesn't matter who you are. If you care about our country and our roads and our school system and education and our jobs and taxes and getting the best bang for your buck, you've got to be part of the system.
Absolutely.
You can't complain if you don't vote.
Can't complain if you don't vote. I couldn't agree with that more.
All right. And your website?
So, again, it's tim4supervisor.com.
And, Ellen, you could give our listeners the Supervisor of Elections website so they can go and see how wonderful it is to navigate. I track my ballot, and I love tracking. I just love going there and check when I vote.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
I remember the day I registered to vote, and I still enjoy it every single time. So votebrevard.gov, make sure you get on that website to check out not only your voting status, but also make sure that you're checking out where your voting polls are, and certainly the candidates, because the candidates are all listed there as well, so that way you can start making educated decisions now and not wait till last minute. But unfortunately, we got to get to our sponsors real quick. We got to take a little quick break here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Thank you, Tim Bobanek, for joining us today and for being such a great influencer and educator on making sure that
and
we're all voting.
And thanks to his wonderful wife.
That's right.
She made it happen. You know,
trust me, I thank God for my wife every day.
I tell you, behind every successful man is a woman.
There you go.
I can prove it.
I can prove it today.
Stay tuned for more Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture.
Are you longing for a taste of
Located
Louisiana?
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie
Cajun
Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salad, and their famous corn fritters.
Is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Choctaw Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group, On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We're heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and everywhere that you have the World Wide Web.
That's right, 1510wwbc.com. You can hit that Listen Live button and get us live on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, all the there as well is the archives of the shows each and every Monday here at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can check out Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Of course, we share everything on our social media channels, which is Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and Sita Media Inc., which is also our website, Sita Media Inc., and we share it all there as well. So you get lots of options to hear us and then, of course, listen to the replays of the shows.
Talk about a fun, unscripted educational show. Today, that's what it's all about.
I love
and
voting.
Education.
I love voting.
And I know our guest, Susan Hines, loves to hear about voting as well, because when I told her that Tim Bobanek, the supervisor of elections for Brevard County, Florida, was sitting in on this interview, she was just as excited as can be. So, Miss Susan Hines, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me, and hello to everyone that's listening as well. And yes, I'm uber excited about the, having a voting representative and talking about education as well.
Yes, it goes hand in hand, doesn't it? Everything in our world comes down to communication and education, whether you're talking about a job or you're speaking about an interview for a position or you're speaking about your marriage or your co-worker, whatever it is, it's all about being able to communicate. And you are communicating extremely well with our children, writing children's book and developing so much stuff with basic language and communication and authoring books. So talk to us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with Buckley and writing all these wonderful stories about a dog and how he can help us.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you again. So, yes, Susan Hines, I am a project manager by trade, but I found myself falling into some hobbies, passion projects, when in the 2020 pandemic, we had a lot of time and creative skills started popping up. And my grandson at the time was 6 years old and didn't have the desire to read as much. And so I wanted to give him an incentive that reading and learning can be fun. We happen to get a standard schnauzer, which is your mid-sized schnauzers, if you guys are familiar. The same year of the pandemic, and my grandson ultimately fell in love with him. And in doing so, I said, you know what? Let's use that love and passion that you have for our new furry friend, and I'm going to write a book about it and highlight some of the activities of his day-to-day adventures. And in doing so, it will also teach children routines and how much fun you can have learning. And that's how our first book came about in 2022. And since then, my grandson has taken that book to school. He shared it with his teachers and classmates. He's excelled in his studies, and he's now an AB student sitting at the head of the class. So I'm proud of him. We all are proud of him. And I realized in just that one gesture of putting my vision, my passion on paper to solve a problem that I noticed just within my general circle, that it was helpful. And we expanded and started to get invitations to the local libraries and the schools, and a couple bookstores are also now carrying the first book. So as I go out to the schools, I realize the need and the demand is increasingly growing. So as such, we now have a second book as well that just released this past January. Buckley's family fishing trip, and it chronicles the activities that we have as a family, the love of family. It also highlights where you may have challenging skill sets or things that you need to work together as a team, which fishing is a team event. And so we put that together in the book. And so as now I go out to the schools and talk to
your books are delightful. And you're taking everyday issues with bullying and self-esteem and all these things, and you're putting into these books, and you are helping the little ones. But in addition to helping the little ones, you're also helping other people to write. So talk to us about, now you're just going around and the young authors, the emerging people, you're saying, hey, I can teach you how to write as well.
Yeah, definitely. So one of the schools that I visit quite often, they were so impressed with the book. And when I say they, I'm talking about our students, our young students were so impressed with the book that they started writing their own Buckley stories or their own adventure stories. So when I go out to the schools, we have a reading session, and then we also do a Q&A session as well. And they give me advice as to what they'd like to see next and what Buckley adventures should be and according to their world. So it's a very exciting period of time to see their minds just spinning and churning, and they're growing. And I've had students who are as young as maybe second grade say to me, hey, you came out to the school last year and you came out this year. Will you be following my career, my educational career? Because I would like you to write a chapter book for me. And so I just ultimately got excited, and I take that as a personal challenge because I want Buckley not to just be for our early readers, but to evolve and grow with the students as they go into the young middle ages, so we address more day-to-day issues may be encountering as well.
Well, you know, they say a dog is a man's best friend, right? And so I think the adults would like to have a version of Buckley as well. Now, Danny here, who runs our board, he likes to fish. So we're going to have to get him that book about the fishing. Buckley goes fishing with the family. And Ellen has pups, dogs.
Yes.
And Allie, I don't know.
Yep.
We
Allie
all do. And my son has a dog as well. But I just wanted to tell you, you know, I grew up in the Caribbean, in Trinidad and Tobago. And back home, I mean, we didn't have television and cable and telephones and things. We had newspapers. And so we would read the newspapers, and then my father would turn around and sell it and make a profit. But in the meantime, they had stories that they would tell us about a cat or a dog or a person. And they used these characters to teach us good things, how to do well in school, how to follow or, you know, obey and listen to our parents. And oftentimes my dad will say, well, I know this guy or I know this person that studies at night with a light on with a wick, and he got A's in his classes. In other words, he was saying, well, we don't have electricity, but you could study if you want to because so-and-so did it. So they use stories to impress us as to what to do and motivate us. And you're using this dog. How did you come up with the idea that you were going to use Buckley instead of using, like, say, something else?
So Buckley, as a very young pup, when he was selected out of his litter, I noticed that he seemed to work independently or play independently. When the other pups were kind of crowded together, he was off going through mazes or under tables or just doing unique things. As he came to enter into our family, I noticed that curiosity continued. And one of the things that he also does is he's very human-like in the sense that my husband and I greet each other with hugs in the morning, you know, good morning hugs. And Buckley now inserts himself in the middle of us, and he's kind of like, where's my hug? I need a hug.
Yeah.
And his morning cannot properly start until you fully acknowledge, you speak to him, he wants to look you in your eyes, and he wants to hug you. And he has a good range. He can hug me around my hips. And I just noticed and started monitoring his human-like behaviors. And I said, you know, he has the same level of curiosity as a toddler or a young child. And that was just an instant attraction to let's mirror his day-to-day and just write a quick rhyming book with rhyming words and sight words, things that could get an early reader started to help build their vocabulary.
Right. And in addition to the books, you know, you have a YouTube channel, and you're going to be doing a cartoon animation series as well of Buckley?
Yeah. So right now I've been, for the course of the last month, I've been putting together some YouTube learning videos. So it's geared to the younger kids, learning your alphabets and also sing-along songs, the songs that maybe that you're familiar with that we grew up with, Wheels on the Bus or Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, those type of songs. Just and there's learning in repetition, there's learning in singing, there's learning in interaction. So I wanted the children to have a visual that they can watch, but also not watch it by themselves so much, but a parent or a guardian could also watch it with them and participate. So there are several videos out there now, and then my ambition is to move forward into developing a full-length animation with more learning activities and storylines.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Susan Hines, and she is a children's author. And she also has her own publishing company as well that publish her books. We're talking about her books that she wrote about this pup, this dog, Buckley. And it's a series, and she's got a couple of books that it's on. Tell our listeners, your books are on Amazon and where else?
The books are on Amazon and also on my website, which is tjppublications.com. That's tjppublications.com. The books are there, and also where books are sold. So I have it on multiple platforms. One of the main platforms, of course, is Amazon. But yeah, the book is out there. It's also in a couple libraries locally here. I am in the state of Georgia, so it is in a couple of libraries, and I'm hoping to grow and continue to expand as well and have it maybe into the schools at some point.
You know, this morning, Susan, as I was prepping for the show, it brought back a lot of memories. When we were little, you know, my parents had 18 children, hence I do believe in birth control. It was a very, very tough life with 18 people, right? But
yeah.
We didn't have toys, and we didn't have a lot of resources. It was very limited. We were poor. And my mom would give us, like, garbanzo beans to learn to count with, or red beans. Mm-hmm. Or if we mm-hmm. ate tamarind, we had to save the tamarind seeds, and we learned to count with those seeds. Oftentimes, we would use a piece of chalk on a slate to write a letter and then erase the letter and learn with the other letter. But I find that here, where there's so many resources here in the United States for children, but what's lacking is parents actually sitting down with the children instead of putting them in front of the television set or the laptop or some sort of a tablet. What are you doing to encourage parents to, number one, do things together with their children and maybe less screen time?
Yes, there is a TED Talk that I watched by Molly Wright, and she is a young child, maybe I think 7 years old at the time she released this particular TED Talk. And she talks about the power of playing peekaboo with the child at a young age and how children need the connection. They need to feel close to their parents, and it helps to helps them to develop emotionally and mentally and just build levels of confidence. So having come across that TED Talk, I keep that in mind, and I keep my own childhood in mind. Similar to yourself, I have a large family. It was 8 children and mom and dad, so 10 of us in a household, and we grew up in South Florida and Miami. So so I do understand not having, but not realizing as a kid that you really didn't have, because my parents were very active in doing things with us. But it wasn't this things like per se playing or football or something, not like that. It was more so, I'm going to work with my mother, and I get to see what her work schedule looks like or how she interfaces with people. I'm going to the bank with my dad because I wasn't able to go to school yet. You know, there wasn't a pre-K. It was just like you go.
Well, you know, I remember I'm also a long-term care nurse, and I remember a few years ago I was speaking with a lady who's 98 years old, and I was lamenting the fact that I wanted my granddaughter to do something with me in the yard. Something to do with gardening. And she said, you know, nurse, If you want your children to do something, you have to do it with them. Yes. Don't give them the advice. You do it with them, the actions. And I see we have a couple of minutes left, and I see Allie's nodding her head. Go for it, Allie.
There's nothing more rejuvenating to a child is to get a good attagirl or an attaboy. Wow, that looks great. You know, instant feedback and the pride that you, as a child, you see in your parents for your efforts, it just recharges batteries in a heartbeat.
Well, everything does start in the home,
yes,
doesn't it? The foundation for family is in the home. So, Susan, what was the most difficult part of writing your books?
Writing the book is the easy part, to be honest. It's marketing the book that's the challenging part. Getting the message out to the masses to say, this is a new book, and explaining how you're passionate about it and how it can help them or help their child. So I think that is probably one of the most challenging parts of the book journey itself. So as I'm developing my publishing company, I've learned a lot in the past 2 years, and I want to pass those lessons on to new authors or writers that are interested in the journey so that they're not frightened from venturing, because many people will say, oh, I have a story. I would love to tell it. I'd love to write a book, but I don't know where to start. And I just kind of jumped in there and really didn't do much research and kind of learning as I go. And, of course, there's things that you do that you say, okay, I could have done that better. But everything is a learning process. So as I'm learning, I'm passing it along, because my goal is to share and help communities to grow and encourage everyone to use their creative spirits and imagination. Because as a child, like you said, Sita, as a child, that's what I relied on was my imagination. And I remember being outside with my mom and her chickens and pulling a leaf off a tree. And that one leaf, I think it's called an umbrella leaf, I don't know. But it became a fish, or it was something, and I'm fishing with this leaf.
Well, use your imagination, right? But yeah, poverty, poverty is something that, you know, it makes you stronger, but it also, you become very creative. That tree will become your friend before you know you're talking to the tree.
Yeah.
And
you're talking to the tree.
And so you did self-publish, right?
Yes, I did self-publish. I did.
Okay, so the advice you have for first-time authors would be, instead of talking about it, just start writing.
Just start writing. Once you start putting your pen to paper and writing, like physically writing, not typing on a laptop or computer, because I think there's a connection that happens when you put pen to paper. Your imagination tends to flow faster, in my opinion. But writing, and don't worry about editing. Just write what's on your mind, put your thoughts on paper, and then after you feel comfortable, then you can go back and make your tweaks.
And what were your favorite books to read growing up as a child?
Growing up as a child, there was a book that I got. It was called Fargo, Dakota, I think it was. And I was able to get that book maybe from Winn-Dixie back in the days. But it came with a 45 CD or 45 record. And I had a record player. And I would play that record over and over while I would read the book. And that was my way of learning to read. It, you know, repetitive. I was the youngest of eight, so I spent a lot of time, quiet time to myself. But I would do that over and over, and that was one of my favorite books. And then, of course, I had the Dr. Seuss series and the Golden Book series as well. But, yeah.
So we're like soul sisters, because I, too, have – I'm the youngest of eight children, and – those books, particularly with the record, the funny thing was is that I memorized the record because I think I was probably three or four, and I would say, Bing, turn the page, like as part of it. I would say, Bing, turn the page, and then everybody would kind of laugh. But nobody could laugh at me because apparently I was very sensitive as a child.
There you go.
But I am so – when I wrote my business books, I actually – they're called the Little Books of Business, just like the Little Golden Books.
Right.
And I actually made a CD that went along with them, so – kudos to you, because those are my fondest memories of learning to read as well.
Yeah. When I wrote my book, when I wrote my book, 18 Brothers and Sisters, I spoke about how we had to take one chicken and divide it with 18 people. And I always got the friggin' neck. The neck. Who wants to get a piece of a chicken neck? And, you know, it was like, oh, I said to my mother one day, I said, when I grow up, I'm going to have so much money. I'm going to eat a whole chicken. And that memory sticks with me every time. I'm like, oh, I got the neck. Or I'll get a piece of a wing. Who gives a kid a piece of a wing? But those are stories that made me stronger, right? But when you started writing your book, Susan, I'm sure some of it made you a stronger person. What was surprising to you as you wrote the book? What kind of memories did it bring back for you?
As I was writing, and I think, and even preparing for this interview, I was going back and just looking through my yearbook, and I said, you know what, you were a part of a yearbook team back in middle school, and you were writing stories and drawing pictures, and it just felt like I'm in my purpose, that I've been doing it all along as a child, and now to my current age, and I'm like, you've been doing this. You've been building up to it. You've been writing process documents for work or whatever the case may be, but I've always seemed to go in the writing direction and a creative spirit of sorts.
Maybe you could write a book later on about civic engagement and why people should care about the community. Maybe Buckley would be able to vote.
I was going to say, if you want to write a book about Buckley and the voting process, by all means, let me know.
There you go.
You know what? It's not a bad idea, because I don't know if you recall Schoolhouse Rock.
I
right?
love it.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I swear
and
we're
that's
sisters.
What I was thinking.
Yeah.
About,
yeah.
We're gonna let Tim jump in here. He's got an idea about voting for Buckley.
Well, I mean, I grew up on the Schoolhouse Rock, and what is a bill, and
yes.
that whole song
on
that
Capitol
you know
Hill.
On Capitol Hill,
yeah.
and,
Capitol
and,
Hill.
And kids don't have that anymore. You don't see that on TV anymore, where they teach that civic engagement at such a young age. So I'm all for anything at that young age to get them involved and understand how their government works and how the voting and elections work.
Yeah, and if Buckley.
Oh, I'm like
and if,
popping songs
right,
in my
and
head
and
right
if Buckley,
now.
If Buckley's in the car and Buckley's parents are complaining about a streetlight, teach Buckley who to call. If Buckley is complaining about in front of the school, the line is too long for the pickup, tell him to call the school board. Buckley has a problem with his dad and mom having an issue with their taxes and belly aching about the taxes. Teach Buckley
okay,
what
Susan,
the taxes does.
You no longer have to worry about marketing because Sita has just jumped into your role as marketing
but
manager.
But if you think about it, right? You know, Buckley has an elderly parent that needs to go on Medicaid. Tell Buckley who's going to pay for that. What do you say, Tim?
Yeah.
I think you just wrote her next three books.
Yeah, I
and I'm still stuck
I'm
on Conjunction Junction. That's your function.
No, because Buckley's going to get old one day, and he's going to need somebody to take care of him. You know, I've always said that we depend on the young people to take care of the elderly, right? We're a team, all of us. We're in this world together as human beings, finding our purpose, finding why we're here. And it's a life of service. It's a service-oriented life. And Buckley sounds like he's a service-oriented dog. So give us your website where people can find you, buy your books, and if they want to send you a question, because you do public speaking as well, and you are just sharing your knowledge, your wealth of knowledge with so many of us. So give us your website.
Sure. My website is tjppublications.com. That's tjppublications.com. And you can send me a message at info.tjppublications.com. I'm also on all of the social media platforms at author Susan H. Hines.
So, be watching for songs written for Schoolhouse Rock.
And Buckley says, no excuses, go vote.
There
That's
you
right.
go.
That's right.
Don't,
I like Buckley.
Yeah, me too.
Weird.
You agree with that, right, Susan? People should make
I
no.
Agree with
you
that.
Can't complain if you're not part of the process.
Yes, we have to be a part of the solution. I definitely agree. So if you see Buckley bumper stickers that say vote, thank you for your.
Buckley says, get out and vote.
Yeah. There you go. Oh, my goodness.
Once
well,
again, a fantastic segment here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Thank you to both of our guests, to Susan Hines. We've made sure we shared all of your book information and how to get a hold of you on our websites and all of our social media. And then, of course, Supervisor of Elections here in Brevard County, Tim Bobanek. Thank you so much for
and
the
he's
education.
Running again.
Yes, and good
vote
luck with
Tim.
Your election and
Buckley
running again.
Buckley said vote for Tim.
That's right. That's right. And folks, we will see you next week here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on 1510 WWBC.